Barbara Streisand. We're right back here, Sharp Passes Gallery. On the line with me this morning, it's my very big pleasure to introduce to you Major General Robert E. Livingston, Jr., the Adjutant General for South Carolina. How are you doing today, Major General Robert Livingston?
I am great, Ann. Beautiful day in South Carolina, and so many great people doing great things. So it is wonderful to be with you today.
Well, it's nice of you to take the time out of your busy schedule to give us a call. Now, of course, Veterans Day is coming up this Sunday, and of course, that's one of the reasons I wanted you to call in. But I also wanted to talk about some of the new programs that you have going on. There's something going on at the schools, isn't there?
That there certainly is. We've started a program, and it's in the Midlands, and we're spreading it out as fast as we can. And we're doing this in conjunction with Fort Jackson. We call it Patriotism, an American Tradition. And what we are trying to do during significant events or holidays like 9/11, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, we're trying to get veterans into the schools, and many of them already do this, but we're working a special twist is to help our young people, the future of America, to understand what it means to serve something bigger than yourself. Doesn't have to be the military, just serve something bigger than yourself. Help them hear the veterans' stories, and also to give them a special look at the world. And for through a veteran's eyes, what we see in foreign countries, how foreign countries view us. So it's a wonderful opportunity to have a dialogue and to get the insights of that great 1% that serves our country so well, our veterans out there.
You know, I think that's terrific, particularly since we don't have that much civics in the high schools anymore, do we?
No, we don't. And, you know, it's an interesting world we live in. It's a very dangerous world, but it's interesting to talk about and understand how we are perceived throughout the world by both our friends and enemies. And we occupy a special place, and we need to understand that special place that we occupy.
That special place meaning what, General Livingston?
Well, you know, our allies and our friends, they look at America as a stabilizing force throughout the world. They don't always agree with us, but they appreciate what we do and how we are able to stabilize a situation. And they're very concerned about the future of America as they look at our rising debt, as they look at the debt crisis in Europe, and they start to see that type of interaction. So it's important that our youth understand how people view us. Our enemies, they're jealous of us, and they would do us harm, and they are looking for weaknesses in our alliances throughout the world. So our students need to understand how we fit into this scheme we call the world, because what they do at home really affects world events.
Absolutely, it does. Now, General Livingston, with President Obama being reelected, how do you feel about the sequestration aspect?
Well, sequestration's a frightening thing. It's not that we're cutting money out of the budget. I just refer to our debt and our allies and our Defense Department and everybody in between, to include our administration, acknowledges that the debt is a very real threat to the United States. So we've got to get it under control. We've got to cut budgets. But sequestration cuts budgets without allowing you to use any choice as to what you cut. So just a straight across the board cut, probably all of your listeners have been a victim of straight across the board cuts, and it just doesn't make any sense because you'll cut good programs while continuing to fund programs that could be significantly reduced. So we believe we need to go through some budget changes, but sequestration is not the way to do it, and we're hoping that our leaders in Washington will be able to come to a resolution before the year's end.
I think we're all hoping and praying for that, General Livingston.
Absolutely.
Now, as far as the National Guard, though, how would these cuts affect the National Guard?
They would. And we're not sure exactly what those cuts are going to look like because there will be force structure reductions both on the active force and on the National Guard and Reserve forces. And so we know that's going to happen. And we know that our future systems, we know a lot of the benefits may be cut. Because, again, it's a cross-the-board cut. It's we don't have choices, and our leadership can't make choices. So we'll have those cuts, and then there will be, when we have the force structure cut in the National Guard as a whole, that will then be allocated out to the different states. So it will affect South Carolina, but I'll tell you, South Carolina National Guard, we're very proud of our troops and what they've done. We rank in the top five in every measure nationwide, and in many cases number one. So if cuts do come, South Carolina is well positioned to weather those cuts because of the great work that our men and women do and how they contribute not just to the safety and welfare of our state, but the safety and welfare of our nation.
Absolutely. We're still sending National Guard groups over to Afghanistan, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. I've got troops in Afghanistan, engineer and agricultural, just brought a fighter wing back, Air Force fighter wing, F-16s. Got guys and gals sitting in Kuwait. Got them in Kosovo, Africa, Colombia, South America, and over in the Pacific in several countries, and down on the border, the southwestern border, and up in Washington, D.C. So, and believe it or not, we still have a couple left in South Carolina.
How big is the National Guard force in the state of South Carolina?
We have almost 10,000 Army and about 1,400 Air National Guard. We have a fighter wing, an F-16 fighter wing here. And a couple of support units go with that. And then on the Army side, we have a variety all the way from infantry to signal to engineers to transportation, maintenance. We just kind of run that whole gamut, military police, because it's very important that we have those type services for state emergencies as well as serving at the federal level.
Absolutely. Now, you know, that brings me to my next question, because with so much variety and such a huge force rotating in and around, one of the issues has to be finding jobs for our veterans.
And that is something I am so proud of. I'm proud of the people of South Carolina, how they respond to veterans. We are a very patriotic state, and we started an initiative with this a couple of years ago, and it's tied into our family and soldier and airman resiliency piece, because a job is a very important part obviously of somebody's well-being. We've been able to, as we educate the people of South Carolina, they have responded with really good jobs that they're looking for veterans, and we've been able to drive our National Guard veteran unemployment rate from about 16% down to anywhere from 3 to 3.5%. So a wonderful response, and it has shown up in the mental welfare and the physical welfare of our troops and our families. So it's just been a wonderful thing. Fact is, we've got an infantry battalion coming home right before Christmas, which is a great thing. But we've got about 300 guys that be looking for jobs when they come out. About half that battalion will not have jobs when they come home, and we'll be working with our employers throughout the state to place them.
Absolutely. Now, that brings me to another question, too. You know, I had your wife on last year, Barbara, and we talked about hidden wounds. And, of course, the suicide rate has been phenomenally high, and I happened to hear about a study they're doing down there to lower suicides among veterans. This is really a big issue, isn't it?
It's a huge issue, and it's a societal issue, unfortunately. Our suicide rate in South Carolina runs somewhere around 19 people per 100,000 per year.
Wow.
And when you think about that, you think about the people you know, that's a pretty staggering number. And that's kind of typical nationwide. Our military, we're seeing our suicide rate continue to resist efforts. One thing we found in South Carolina, and then this is just the South Carolina National Guard, but we've been working with health care providers to really target individuals along with this employment program that we've talked about. We've been able to use our buddy system, our family care system, our circle of professionals that are there trying to help us, along with the employment program, and we've been able to pull that suicide rate down from a couple of years ago. We were about twice the South Carolina average. In other words, we had about four suicides for our force. We've been able to bring that over the last 2 years down to one quarter, or about one third, I guess, about one third of the South Carolina average. In other words, we've had one suicide in that period of time. So we find that suicide prevention is really, it's a very personal thing, but there are a lot of factors that figure into it, and I talked about those. So it's something we're taking extremely seriously. We're having some wonderful results. It is the dedication of our chaplaincy. It's our healthcare professionals, our people finding our veterans jobs, and just our families pitching in. So it's a good news story with a bad topic.
Absolutely. Now, why do you think that we're having more, but why has that come to the front more, General Livingston? I mean, did we, when veterans came home, have this as such a big issue?
Well, you know, we've always had some suicides, and during the war, after a war, our suicide rate has been probably higher, and there really hasn't been a whole lot of studies, but, you know, just kind of off the top of my head, we've had some issues with suicides, but nothing at the rate that we're having now. But nothing like the rate we're having in general society either. I mean, general society is having a terrible time with suicides. Of course, there's a lot of theories out there about how we raise people and are they able to handle the hard knocks of life? And life is not easy. It's not fair. Sometimes people that grew up in a very difficult environment understand that a little bit better than maybe those who didn't grow up as in a difficult environment. But I don't know. I know it's a real problem,
mm-hmm.
And it's a growing problem. Interestingly enough, the issues that we're starting to see in the South Carolina National Guard are not stemming from combat experiences. They're stemming from things that come from their civilian lives before they got in the military, and that's that's our next horizon that we've got to work with and work with our people, because when they become part of the South Carolina National Guard family, they're our family. It doesn't matter where their problems come from. We need to help them solve their own problems. Those are the initiatives that we're working through to deal with this growing problem for both society and for the military.
Now, if somebody is listening out there and they have questions or they need to reach out to, what would be a number to reach out to? Do you have a number or a website that they should go to?
What they could do is to call the central line at the National Guard and ask for our psychological help, or they can call me at 803-299-1745, and we'll get them with the right people.
That's terrific. That's terrific. So so we're moving forward here. We've got things with our veterans now. What do you think about veterans programs in the upcoming administration? I went to the Democratic Convention. I sat in on a Veterans Affairs caucus that they had up there. They were talking about tremendous programs that will be coming down the pike for our veterans. They were, of course, saying particularly if President Obama was reelected. Do you have any background on that?
We've had tremendous support from the administration on veteran programs and you know, administrations before them. Americans love their veterans, and what a refreshing change from the horrors that our Vietnam veterans had to endure. They take care of us very, very well. One thing that we do ask, and we're getting some great response on it, is that as veterans programs are created, we're asking for flexibilities for the states and the units within the states to make some choices about how that money is spent, because somebody in South Carolina is different than somebody in California or somebody in Texas. And we have to recognize those differences, still provide the program and the emphasis, but allow a little bit of a state flavor. I will say we have anywhere from education to care of injuries, both hidden and visible wounds, to reaching out to children and families of our troops. We just received a tremendous amount of support from the administration, from the Congress, and we really do appreciate that.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the holidays are a hard time for military families, whether their veteran is at home or not. So this is a time really to be aware of trying to help out. Anybody can help out somebody, whether it's bringing in a hot-cooked meal or just taking the kids to a movie one afternoon. But there's a lot of things that can be done. And I think the other thing that happens in South Carolina is you could have a neighbor and you don't even know that they have a veteran serving. It's different than living on a military base, isn't it?
Oh, with the National Guard, it certainly is. And, you know, that's our strength, though, is that the community, when we go to war leave our home, it's not some isolated base where the community doesn't know you're gone. Most people in South Carolina, and we're a unique state. We're just such friendly people, and we normally know our neighbor, and so we know somebody's gone. And we of course we know when the barber down the street or the banker or the mayor of the city, when they get mobilized, and we take them out. So it's a real connection with the mobilizations, with the efforts that we have overseas to care for our nation and defend our way of life. That's a real strength. The holidays are particularly tough on families. Sometimes it's tough on veterans. And what I would ask people to do is to, if you know you got a veteran that's a friend or a family that has a veteran, you know, just call them up and say how are things going. I'm back to talking about family care and some of the things that we've done with the suicide reduction. A lot of it is a friend calling a friend and noticing something is not quite right, and then when they notice something's not quite right, getting them the help that they need. We're not psychiatrists, but we sure know our buddies, we sure know our family, we know our friends, and if you know something just a little wrong, maybe you want to talk them into walking down the street with you and seeing somebody and having a little bit of a conversation. yeah, tough time of year, but a very joyous time of year. In fact, I'm looking forward to it. I'm headed over to Kosovo right before Christmas and get to spend Christmas with my troops that are in Kosovo, still fighting that conflict a little bit and providing the people of Kosovo a chance at a better life.
You know, it really is we have to commend all our veterans for being committed. And, you know, it's a lot easier, I think, to stay home. But our veterans do it, and they go anywhere, anytime they're asked, don't they?
Oh, they do. And, in fact, is you want to make a veteran mad is leaving behind. you know, I've got people on their fourth and fifth and probably even sixth deployment, and it's they miss their families, but this sense of service is just so strong, and they're incredible people. I stand in awe of them every day, and that's the neat thing about my job is you get to deal with such incredible men and women.
Absolutely. Well, I did want to give you a little time to do a little shout-out to Veterans Day coming up this Sunday. I don't know what your plans are for Veterans Day, but we've got a parade and all this good stuff. And sometime you've got to come up and see our we got the old library up here is the new Greenwood Veterans Center here. In fact, I think y'all are looking at putting an office in there. You've got to come up and take a look at it with Kerry Bolt.
Yep. I tell you what, Kerry is one of my heroes. He is a great. He takes care of our veterans, but I've never seen anybody more enthusiastic than him. And he just got a lot of good things going on up there. And I'm really looking forward to Veterans Day. You know, it's interesting, and I ain't really thought about it until we were talking about the election. And it's really appropriate that Veterans Day comes right after the election because we are so privileged as a nation to be able to have, you know, freedom of press, to be able to openly discuss our leaders, to say good and bad things about them, and to go through this election process. And then a few days later, we're reminded who has defended this for us since the formation of our nation. I mean, you know, we had some brilliant founders, but there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that has been that we have shed to be able to defend the principles that our founding fathers originated. And that's just that's a neat thing to really think about, the privileges we have and those who have defended it for us. And you ask about my plans. I got a great Veterans Day schedule. I'm going out to visit some elementary schools. Then we got a couple of parades. And then get to spend some time with veterans, all spread out over about a three-day period. That's the neat thing about Veterans Day. People choose different times to celebrate it, so you get to really spend a lot of time out there with all of everybody, the youth of our nation and the veterans of our nation, and then those along the parade route. So it's just a great time of year.
Absolutely, and I know you're real proud of the new program that you've started with patriotism and public service within the school district. I think that sounds like a fine program. I hope we can get it implemented up here in the Greenwood area.
Well, we're looking forward to heading up that way. We reached about 20,000 students over Memorial Day, about 12 over 9/11. Of course, we don't have as big of events on 9/11, and we're on track for about 30,000. Just in the Midlands, this Veterans
Wow.
Day. So tremendous outreach to the students. And next time around, we're headed upstate and to the lower state. So we're just having a good time with this.
Absolutely. I hope you'll let me know when you come up here and we can get together and talk again.
Will do.
All
Thank
right.
you, Ann.
Thank you very much, Major General Robert E. Livingston. God bless all our veterans. God bless you for leading the troops on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and God bless America.
God bless America. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.